the high slot. Pacioretty, and now Tuck shoots wide. Rebound, score! Pietrangelo! Alex Pietrangelo puts Vegas in the lead, 4-3. 10 seconds to go. Collision far corner. Buck out high for a shot. Deflected in front to the near side. 5 seconds to go. Right wing shot blocked by Holden. 2-1. It's over! Vegas wins the series. 6-3, the final score in game six. The Knights knock out the Avalanche with four straight wins.
TSN 1200.
And just like that, we got our semifinal set in the National Hockey League. Interesting that none of the series ended up going seven games. How many, I'm trying to think now, only one went in the first round, went to seven games, right? Correct?
I can't even remember.
Yes.
Were they handing out the divisional trophies last night, Jared? Didn't see any hot put in after Montreal knocked off Winnipeg.
And I guess because we have no Eastern and Western conferences this year, how are they going to divvy up the Wales Conference and the, is it the Campbell Conference
yeah.
that we're still calling now? The trophies, like who gets which one?
Great point. I have no idea.
Yeah, that is a great point by me. These are the types of questions which we ask, which no one is probably interested in the answer. Certainly our next guest probably isn't, but might know the answer too. He is Pierre McGuire, of course, who joins us each and every week morning at this time. A presentation of the Myers Automotive Group. How are you doing this morning, Pierre?
Well, JR, good morning. Hello, Sean.
Good morning, Pierre.
Do you know which trophy they're awarding for which series, Pierre, by
no,
any chance?
No, no idea.
No idea. Of course you don't. Yeah. Do you know what series you're going to be broadcasting?
I am. I'm heading to Vegas on Sunday morning.
Okay. Well, you got now are you going to be traveling to Montreal?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And so you as broadcasters or whatever, you're kind of you're in as far as quarantines and
we
obviously.
We are totally in a bubble, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Even in Vegas, we're in a bubble.
If I were to say to you, just from a purely, you enjoy the broadcast part of it which of the two series would you prefer if either to broadcast?
Doing the game at this time of the year is just a privilege. It's an honor, so I don't really care. I mean, they're both really good series. They're going to be different types of series. I think Islanders will try to make their series extremely physical. I think Vegas will try to make their series a little bit more physical as well because of the way Montreal plays. The problem is, if Vegas plays reckless with the puck, they were turnover machines last night. They were lucky to win that game, by the way. But if they turn the puck over like they did last night, they could be in trouble against Montreal. So they're going to have to change some things in their game. But two different types of series, for sure.
Ultimately, what allowed Vegas to turn around the series? They were down 2-0 and won 4 in a row. Ultimately, what do you think was the reason they were able to do that?
There are a few reasons, JR. Number one, Fleury was good. He wasn't great last night, but he was good through most of the series. So that made a difference, especially after game one, obviously, where Robin Leonard didn't have a very good game and the team didn't have a very good game in front of them. But I would say that Fleury's play was enhanced. The defense of Vegas is really good in terms of moving the puck, and they've got they do it by committee through the middle, and their middle was really good, mostly Chandler Stephenson and William Karlsson and Nick Roy, and a little bit of Patrick Brown. Last night it was Keegan Kolesar who had a big goal, but their center ice play was very good as well.
Did they have not only the defense of Colorado a little nervous, but also some of the wall play there looked like, hey, at the end of the day, Colorado a little scared on the forecheck?
Well, I don't know about scared, but they weren't nearly as effective as they needed to be for sure on the boards. I mean, the big thing with Vegas, they're a big team, and they are very good on the boards, but they're also good in transition because they're pretty slick through the middle in terms of speed. So that's one of the things that Montreal's going to have to pay attention to, but I know they thrived in their series with Winnipeg, taking the middle of the ice away from Winnipeg, so I think that was important, and it'll have to be important again in Vegas as well. But the board play is something that Vegas is really good at.
We all emphasize, Pierre, so much the importance of center ice play, and I don't think you look at Vegas and you go, like, they're, you know, William Karlsson's good, real good player, and Chandler Stephenson, good player, but you wouldn't necessarily put them at the top of the NHL. How are they able to do it when they don't necessarily have elite center ice?
They skate really well, number one. And then, number two, their defense is outstanding. So they get real good goaltending, they get real good defense, and it insulates their center ice play. They don't have elite center icemen. They don't have the guys that jump off the page and say, look at me, I'm dominant. No, they don't, but they do it by committee, and their system is really smart in terms of how they play in their own zone. So it insulates their center icemen as well.
Do you think people are getting a little carried away that they're going to blow the doors off the Montreal Canadiens?
Yeah, I would never say that. And okay. I think the biggest thing is, again, Montreal, if they play the proper way in the neutral zone, they could cause a lot of problems for Vegas. Again, I know a lot of people like to look at, especially with the late games from the West, they look at the scoreboard rather than watch the game. I understand you got to work the next day. But if you watch that game, Vegas was okay in that game last night. They weren't great. They turned the puck over way too much. And if they do that against Montreal, they're going to have a problem.
What if you look at and Ryan Reeves, of course, was suspended early in the series and then ended up sitting out a couple of games ago. He sat last night. I'm not saying he's a key player for Vegas, but would a player like that have less or more impact, do you think, in a series against Montreal?
Oh, no, he could have impact, huge impact, especially going after the big defenseman of Montreal, whether it's Ben Chiarot, whether it's Shea Weber, if Petrie's back in the lineup. They go after the big guys. That's where that line is so effective. Last night it was Keegan Kolesar playing center between Ryan Reeves and Will Carrier. That line is amazingly effective on the forecheck, unbelievably effective, and they can go right after that defense. If they soften those guys up just a little bit, because obviously Weber's not 100%, Petrie's not 100%, you know, there are lots of nicks. If those guys go down for Montreal, that's when Montreal will have a problem. So that's something to pay attention to. He could have a big impact on this series, talking about Ryan Reeves.
I think we're all big Colorado fans and respect the way they built the club, Pierre. If you were to look at it, kind of big picture, are they a little too small on the back end if you were to address one area?
I think they're not structured enough in their own zone. Okay. They weren't in this series, I can tell you that. They were running around all over the place, and they're going to have to figure that out internally. I think they need to upgrade their 5-6 position with Connor Timmins and Patrick Nemeth. They need to upgrade that. But I would say, by and large, that's a well-built team. I wasn't there doing the series. I was watching it from afar, but that is not the Colorado team I saw through most of the year, Sean. I can tell you that. I did a lot of their games this year, both in Colorado and on the road, and also from the studio, and I can tell you that team was really good the entire year. And then to see what I saw in this playoff series, I was like, whoa, that's not the team I saw.
Is that credit to what Vegas was doing or what Colorado wasn't doing?
Combination, I think, JR. It's a great question. I think it's a combination. That I never saw them run around in their own zone like they were, for good point. I saw games where they were giving up 14, 16, 18 shots in a game. You know, last night they only gave up 23 because, I didn't think Vegas played a really great game last night. They were good enough to win, but I didn't think they were great. But I think the biggest thing is, you know, I just saw them not play as well or as structured as what I saw during the regular season. And for Vegas, they're a hard team to play against because of what Sean talked about before, the board play, and their end zone coverage is really good.
But does that not point to kind of my point, Pierre? They know how to play with structure, but when all of a sudden the physicality came, that led to the carelessness, which generally has you back on your heels. And
yeah,
if you don't want to use the term scare, but hey, yeah, they lost their composure. Would you agree?
I'm not going to take that away from them, but I didn't think they were scared. I would never say that about an NHL player.
Philip Grubauer, unrestricted free agent. Gabriel Landeskog, unrestricted free agent. Brandon Saad, good player, UFA. Cale Makar, RFA. So Joe Sakic has his work cut out for him. And there isn't a ton of cap space. There's some, but not a ton. Is he going to use this summer potentially? I'm not talking about a giant makeover, but looking at now falling twice in a row in the second round and saying, I need to do a little bit more than a tweak here.
They're going to be really proactive, 100%. I think they'll be super proactive. One of the things that has to happen, they got to get Newhook going. He's too good a player to only be playing 6, 7, 8 minutes a game. I mean, they got to get him in the lineup, and I think they'll make room for him. But I think internally they still have so much organizational depth, it's scary. Bowen Byram's got to be an everyday player for them. I know he was battling a lot of stuff with COVID and injuries this year, but he's got to become an everyday player. I think internally they have some of the answers. They don't have it all. But it'll be the one contract to really pay attention to is Landeskog and what they do with him. I think that's going to be very interesting.
Whenever a team loses, maybe a little bit earlier than expected, do the coach comes under the microscope as well? Do you think that will happen in Colorado?
Well, I think they'll do a thorough evaluation of everything there. Yeah, I think they're really disappointed. So I would imagine that they're going to do a thorough evaluation of everything.
Did Nazem Kadri cost them the series? And I don't mean getting rid of him, but simple fact that if he was in there, that could have been the difference?
Well, we talked about it the other day. There was a chance in overtime in Game 5 where JT Compher got the puck in the slot, and he made a good play, but he shot it, and Fleury made an unbelievable save. Now, if that's Kadri, I don't know if that is going in or not, but I like the chances of it going in with him being in there in that position. But it's hard to predict. But Naz would have made a difference, I think, in a positive way for them.
Montreal played their big four in defense a lot in terms of the amount of minutes, given how, again, how physical Vegas can be and is. Is that something that that Vegas might try to take advantage of in terms of just being super physical with the four and maybe try to tire them out?
I think that's a real good point, and I think you're going to see a lot of that, JR, really doing. Ryan, you talked about Ryan Reeves before. I think he and Will Carey are going to cause some problems. Keegan Kolesar's a big guy that can really move. Patrick Brown's not shy. I mean, they got a lot of big bodies that can get after you. Alex Tuck is another one of those guys. Stone is not shy. Pacioretty will skate you into the ice, not so much hit you into the ice, but he'll skate you into the ice. So they got a lot of guys with some size that can really cause some damage.
Montreal and Vegas, both veteran teams, but what is this going to be like? Almost like a heavyweight fight, or, I don't know, middle heavyweight in the sense of you haven't played each other all year. Is it tactically going to take a little time to feel each other out, a little different than years past?
Well, Vegas doesn't do that at home. They go right on the attack. That's the one thing when you play in Vegas, because of the crowd noise and the energy, they go right on the attack immediately. So I think that's something that Montreal will have to get ready for. And now if Montreal can take away some of that attack by structuring up the neutral zone or structuring up their own zone and making sure that they can't get to the net, talking about Vegas, then maybe they take some of the energy out of the building. But that's the one thing Montreal is going to have to deal with. They haven't played in any building that's like this this entire year, and that's going to be different for them, I can tell you. I mean, Vegas is a different animal. It really is. It's you know, again, I've done a lot of games there, including a Stanley Cup final, and it's rambunctious, let's put it that way.
And to that, Pierre, if you're a Montreal Canadian, are you not prepared for that? Because I'll also say that atmosphere in Montreal might be the best in the National Hockey League.
It is, but the problem is they haven't had it this year.
Yeah, but all the players that have played, for the most part, have been through
it. Well, there's some of their key guys. I can tell you right now, Cole Caulfield's never played a game in front of a full fan base there. Tyler Toffoli never has. I mean, you can look at it. Romanov hasn't. So I think it's a bit different. I really do. So this has been a unique year. I can tell you, the teams that played in front of fans for good portions of the year, I think have a distinct advantage over the teams that have not played in front of fans.
All right, fair point. The other series will begin on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, the Islanders and Tampa. You mentioned the fact that you think the Islanders are going to make it into a very physical series, or at least try to. Tampa Bay upgraded their team last year, Pierre, and a lot of credit from a lot of people for them winning the championship came to the fact that they were able to kind of stand up to other teams. So do you think the Islanders are going to be able to physically dominate the Lightning in this series?
I don't know about dominate, but they're going to get physical with them. They're not shy. I mean, they went after Pittsburgh, they went after Boston, they handled that really well. I think they dominated the physical side of it in both of those series. And I think they'll try to with Tampa. The problem is Tampa pushes back because they're role players. Whether it's Yanni Gord or whether it's Blake Coleman, whether it's Barkley Goudreau, they're Alex Killorn is a real physical guy. I mean, you look at their depth players, they're not shrinking violets at all. So I think that's going to cause some problems for the Islanders. But again, everybody discounts the Islanders all the time. I think that Barry Trotz always finds a way to elevate his team's play, and I think that's something to watch for, the coaching matchup, because Barry Trotz is a tremendously talented coach. Not saying John Cooper isn't. I just don't know if he does the same kind of structural stuff over the course of a game that can influence a game the way that Barry Trotz can.
Well, on the Tampa side, hey, you're into round three. Big story's been your goalie. Do you also feel at the same time Tampa Bay has a little more to offer where they can still elevate play-wise?
Well, they can. There's no question. And that's something, again, we talked about this over the first two rounds. I didn't think Tampa played too many A games, especially in the Florida series. I didn't think they played a lot of A games at all. They might have played one A game. And then in the next round against Carolina, probably their best game was their last game, game five. So I would just say that they've got room to grow. The Islanders have played extremely well the entire playoff. They've been so consistent the entire playoff.
Tampa's power play is killer.
Yes.
Are the Islanders disciplined enough to not take a lot of penalties?
That'll be strong. I'm sure when they do do their pre-scout and they have their team meetings about how they're going to play Tampa, then the first thing they'll probably say is discipline, and they'll repeat discipline a bunch in the meeting. They can't. If they take penalties, they're going to be in trouble. They won't win the series. If they take three or more penalties in a game, I highly doubt that they'll win the series.
As Trotsky did say, they are one of the least penalized teams, so the discipline and structure is there.
That's 100% true during the year.
Yeah.
J.G. Pageau is the little hungry dog on the T-bone that you sick on the opposing player's best center. Is that Braden Point? Like, is that the matchup you think the Islanders would look for?
I would imagine that will be a big part of their matchup, trying to take Point out of it early, because he does drive the bus in a lot of situations, especially off the rush. And that's where I think Pageau is so good. His transition defense in the neutral zone is phenomenal. It really is. That's the one thing, if you're not at the game, it's hard to see it. When you're at the game and you watch how he angles and how he plays away from the puck, it's pretty impressive. It's actually very impressive. So I would imagine that that's probably one of the matchups he'll try to establish.
In attacking that, would Lou look back to some of the New Jersey teams? And I'm not going to say Bobby Holik because of the size, but are we talking about the Breelands of the world or guys that Lou had in New Jersey that said, hey, we know this is exactly what Pageau can give us along with a little more offense?
Yeah, I would say yes. I think that's a very good point, and I would agree with that 100%. The one thing that Coach Lamoriello shared with me about J.G. Pageau is he's blown away by his intensity, and he really respects his hockey sense. And he said that to me numerous times. He's not really into superlatives very much when it comes to talking about guys. He'd rather talk about their off-ice behavior than their on-ice play. But that's the one thing I can tell you. He's a huge fan of J.G. Pageau.
Could I get maybe even just a golf clap for sliding into Sergei Breland on a Friday?
Yeah,
that's
good.
Pretty good.
Well, the biggest
most listeners are like, who the F is that?
He's actually an assistant coach. Sergei Breland works down in Binghamton. By the way, a very long time and loyal listener to your show. His name is Stu Hackle. He used to work in the NHL office.
Yes.
He just sent me a text. Saying the Wales and Campbell trophies will not be presented this year.
Oh, there we go.
There you go. There's the answer to the question.
Say hi to Stu. Used to see him at the games all the time.
Well,
good
he's
guy.
Listening, so you can say hi.
Awesome. Hi, Stu.
Hi, Stu. Well, we don't have to worry about whether guys are going to touch the trophies now, whoever ends up winning these conference championships. That's all good. Okay, let's touch on a couple of other issues, and we'll let you go. Get into your weekend. We'll start with the
weekend.
With the coaching decision in Columbus.
Yeah.
Fairly unheralded name. Brad Larsen used to play in the league, won a cup with Colorado.
Drafted by the Ottawa Senators,
yes.
By the way.
Yeah. Been an assistant in Columbus for the last 7 years. Why do you think they went in this direction?
I think it's a rebuild, and I think they know it, and they want to build the coach along with the product that they have. He'll do a good job. He's an honorable, hardworking guy, and I think it's just one of those where they want the coach to grow with the program. But I think more than anything else, it's a rebuild.
So they interviewed both Rick Tocchet and Gerard Gallant, among others, who been interviewed by all the teams. Would that have been more of a, because those are high-profile guys, would that have been more of a cursory interview? Because if at the end of the day it's a rebuild and you think they're going in this direction with going unheralded because it's a rebuild, why bother even interviewing these guys?
Well, because you pick people's brains and you find out different ideologies, and you can get a lot of information. You can get a ton of information about the league, about systems, about different players through these interviews. That's why a lot of times and I don't know what Sean's experience is, but I can tell you a lot of times, a lot of these interviews are fact-finding, and they want information, and it helps a lot. You can get a lot of information for free. Let's put it this way, for the cost of a plane ticket.
Yeah, no, people want to express and almost give you everything or tell you everything. On Brad Larsen, I won't say on the cheap, but as you said, as you go into development and basically bring in a coach to teach, does this make a lot more sense than necessarily giving $3-5 million to a Gerard Gallant?
Yeah, no, I think that's part of the process there. And again, it doesn't mean that they're not going to be good, but I think they're going into a different phase of their development right now as a group.
What do you make of Kirk Muller going to work under Daryl Sutter in Calgary?
I think it's great. I'm happy for him. I didn't like the way he was treated in Montreal, but I think it's really good. I'm glad that he landed on his feet, and I'll tell you one thing. They'll play hard hockey. I don't know how good they'll be, but I think they'll play hard hockey.
What in particular about Kirk Muller makes him, in your opinion, a good coach, I guess?
Yeah, he communicates really well with the players. I watched him a lot in practices over time, and communicates well, works on faceoffs a lot. He's never really down. He's always positive, but I think like the way he communicates with his players.
Can he also be a buffer between Sutter? Because he is a great guy.
Yeah,
and then at the end of the day,
it
gets a little old after a while, and Kurt's just one of the boys at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think he'll make the players a little bit more comfortable around the dressing room when they get to game 45 or game 52 or whatever over an 82-game schedule. And the head coach is mad at them. He'll loosen the guys up for sure.
All right, last one. They announced the Hart Trophy finalists yesterday. Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid, Nate McKinnon. Did they get it right, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think they did.
Anybody else?
Ballot, that's what I had.
Okay, anybody else close on your list, or who is close?
I did. I had Marchand and Crosby close on my list.
Okay. All right. Okay, on that note, we will let you get into your weekend. As we mentioned, not much of a weekend. You got some homework to do, and you're heading out to Vegas, so we're going to be talking to you they're 3 hours behind us this time of year,
hours,
right?
Yeah,
so we're going to talk to you. You're going to be early.
That's good.
Yeah.
We're quarantined, so it's okay.
That's true. Okay, all good. Enjoy the weekend. Safe travels out to Vegas. Look forward to talking to you from there. It'll be game one on Monday night. Thanks for the time, and have a wonderful weekend.
Yeah, thanks so much. Take care of yourself, Sean. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy your family and friends. Stay safe.
Hey, everybody, we can go out at least a little bit. In fact, people went out last night at 12:01. Some of the video footage I've seen from CTV Ottawa of people lined up to hit the bars that opened, a few of them did last night, for a couple of hours after the... Well, Ontario entered stage one. A very welcome respite for people from lockdown for the last couple of months. So I think people are going to feel pretty good this weekend. Cheers to the freaking weekend indeed. All right, welcome back. It's 8:41 here at TSN 1200. Speaking of stuff to do this weekend, I want to remind you that OSEG is going to have their annual bottle drive happening tomorrow. So if you've spent part of lockdown cleaning out your garage for the millionth time, and you've maybe accumulated a few bottles, you want to take them in and support a good cause, please do so. It is happening tomorrow at TD Place. It's a drive-through bottle drive at TD Place tomorrow between 9 and 2. Drop off your empties and create an opportunity for kids to play, learn, and develop through sports, all put together through the OSEG Foundation. That is happening tomorrow between 9 and 2 at TD Place. Is Simmer with us, or is he just...
Do you want me to... I'm not going on the bottle drive, so I just wanted to comment on that.
Okay, all right, good. We've got She's Got Game tonight for you at 6 o'clock here on TSN 1200. Michaela Schreider and Robin Flynn are your hosts among the guests tonight. Natalie Spooner, Canadian national hockey team member, and of course, looking forward to the 2022 Olympics and a chance to maybe get some revenge on Team USA. So she will be a guest tonight on the show at 6, as well Kate Burness, from TSN as well. So that's tonight, 6 to 7, and we'll replay it for you tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, and looking forward to that from the men's and women's side. And also, when her name came up, Jer was kind of just curious where Ryan Spooner has been at, the much-traveled in the last couple of years in the KHL, and this past year, basically a point-of-game player for old Dynamo Minsk, my old club, so has made the transition over there. I think when he got bought out, initially went to Switzerland, now 2 years in the KHL and putting up pretty good numbers, so not a bad way at his age to go over and, boy, you can make some pretty good money for yourself and play some real good hockey.
Our golf pool, by the way, is open as well online at tsn1200.ca. This is our TSN 1200 majors pool, because next weekend and by Friday, day one will be in the books of the U.S. Open, third major of the golf season, being held out in California. So we'll have some primetime golf to look forward to watching next weekend. Get involved in our pool. We've been doing this for a bunch of years thanks to our friends at Royal LePage Team Realty. They provide the prize. It is your very own Google Nest to our first place finisher. It's a pretty simple contest. And you go online at tsn1200.ca, pick your team of 9 players. We give you 9 pools of 6 players each. Pick one from each pool, and collectively, your team is a better score than anybody else. You win that grand prize, your very own Google Nest, courtesy of Royal LePage Team Realty. And you got to get your picks in by next Thursday morning, so you can spend the weekend researching that and make sure you have bragging rights for pool number 3.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Probably one of the tournaments. End up watching a little bit of JR. Power ranking for me is Masters, British Open, U.S. Open, and the PGA Championship. So I've locked my picks in and ready to rock and roll, and hopefully a little better than the PGA Championship, where I started strong on the Thursday.
No,
bragging.
We discovered that was a technical glitch.
It was?
You thought you were in 8th place, and you were in 3,000th place.
No, that was by Friday. Oh, no, 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 no. I had a real strong start on Thursday. Just my my players crapped the bed. No, I was all of a sudden Friday. It fell apart after my gloating.
I noticed that. Yeah, you weren't speaking as much about it on.
Well, we didn't have the opportunity.
That's the JR method.
We don't do the shows Saturday and Sunday. And after being very strong in the Masters and being off, I didn't have the opportunity. So yeah, it'll be some fun and hopefully get out and play some golf myself. I haven't played yet this year, so I think a lot of people are enjoying that with the beauty weather and chance to get outside. How's your game and your injury? You're doing good?
I was very good last weekend.
Yeah,
I was not very good yesterday.
Oh, okay.
So I'm just not quite there yet.
Okay.
It's okay.
In the important matches, though, you've been able to dig down. That's the key.
It's clutch, right? JR, man. It's clutchy. I've got clutchiness.
As my kid continues to discover the game, we're actually going to go out to a driving range for the first time. We're going to hit El Hamo's place.
Oh. Nice.
On Sunday. So I called him up and I said, hey, I need to get in there around 2 o'clock. You got some space.
Nice.
So we're getting in there and my brother-in-law is going to join us. And we'll see what the kid can do at the range. I know I'm going to be terrible.
Yes.
And probably just sit and watch the majority of the time.
Oh, grab, bring a six-pack hammer. And honestly, why?
Is that allowed at
I don't think so.
It's not?
I don't think he's licensed.
Oh, well, Jesus. Well, that's why you bring your own, of course. If you're not, what do you mean? That's exactly the point. But we went there last.
My cell phone is ringing. It's Kevin. Yeah. Why are you guys telling people to bring beer to my range?
Oh, man.
No.
We went last year, Hammer, and you're hitting. I mean, you've got, first of all, the automatic tee, which means obviously the ball pops out of the ground. Then you've got the TVs now that track the ball exactly where you're hitting. Oh, it really is. That's a
it's the
a
power
blast.
Tees are pretty cool.
Oh, it is. Oh, it really is. Yeah, it's a great, it's a fun day and get out and hit some balls and have some fun and I guess don't have any bites.
And really test out those lefty clubs that JR lent them to. Really get the feel of those. What were they called again? They weren't Mastercraft.
The battle sticks.
The battle sticks.
Yes.
I'm going to show them to Kevin and go, boy, I bet you wish you had these bad boys.
Are they a little long for you or?
No, these are I picked them up, I think, from a neighbor.
Oh, okay.
Oh no, these are not these are not custom made.
So what pros are using battle sticks?
You know
there?
What? Have not seen any lately.
Yeah. Mickelson?
Probably just don't have the advertising budget. You know, they like to keep things all about research and development. That's
what
where they put their
money. No John Rahm.
No, that what was the Arnold Palmer Club, JR, that was spelt with Arnold Palmer. Hey, remember the Jack Nicklaus knockoff ones too? There were a whole bunch of them. Laying around
like
back
John Nicholas Club.
Well,
exactly.
His other brother.
Okay. Anyway, whatever you're up to this weekend, hope it's a good one for you. This will be, as I said, I think a lot of people are just going to feel good getting outside, be able to do a little bit of something. Some of the all the patios will be open, wide open, and even some of those the non-essential stores will be open at least to limited capacity as well, so people can get out a little bit, get around, and just. Feel good. And, of course, don't forget Euro 2020 begins this afternoon at 3 o'clock. We'll have the Italy-Turkey match for you. And follow that with our Euro 2020 preview show with AJ Jakubek. And we'll welcome back to the station Graham Ivory, longtime voice of soccer here on TSN 1200. We'll join AJ this afternoon between 5 and 6 with a full preview of the upcoming tournament over the next month.
Yeah, and Hammer, want to throw a wrench at JR for doing all the programming, picking all the games that give everybody on every other show time off other than us. So a little wrench at JR.
Hail to the big man!
Do you want to break the news? Or?
You go ahead.
Okay, because we do have a game on Monday
morning
at 9.
Well, but we have to stay because we have to do something at 9:45.
You
got
to stick around to fill in the halftime
which
show.
Which is even worse. Who wants to hear us as a halftime show?
Summer, I want to hear you break it down.
I'm going to go into my English accent. And you got
it's Scotland versus Czech Republic, so I want you to break it down at halftime coming up on Monday.
Okay, and I want you to go into your Sean Connery Russian
October.
Submaster.
Mr. Chekhov, two pings, hard left.
Isn't that going to be your sub-favorite is Scotland? You haven't given us your favorite
yet. That's true.
Have
you actually done the research now? Who is going to be your team at Euro 2020?
I'm going to take Belgium.
Okay, yes.
Nice
this
squad.
Is maybe the final go-around for the golden generation. Belgium has been the team that has had lots of stars but has not broken through yet.
Okay, and I don't
interesting
know.
Interesting choice.
Am I making a mistake to take two from the same group, Jer?
No.
Okay, because I'm going to take
top two teams in each pool get through, as do I think four of the top six third place finishers.
Okay, well, I'm going to go Belgium, Russia, And probably a bad idea because I don't know if Denmark is that good this year. But I feel like Russia's steroid program still should be helping these guys at this point.
Okay.
So they pump so much money into their soccer program. So, yeah, I'm going Belgium, Russia.
Okay. And what was the reasoning, by the way, for picking Belgium?
I'm not sure. I knew that they were a pretty good club.
Really love their kit.
Well, and for a smaller country as well, I've always appreciated the fact they put together
good chocolate
such a good
there, pretty good beer.
Yeah, I've never been, actually.
Yeah, so, as a Dutchman, we're okay. Strong rivals with the Belgians, so I would never pick Belgium. So that makes us natural rivals, which is good. That's more than welcome.
So on the Belgium, though, do you despise them like the Germans or just a healthy rivalry?
No. The Germans, that's a bit of a stronger. I know.
I know there is, but there was never anything like that I don't even know historically where Belgium fits into anything. So
That's the reason they don't fit
in. So what are you guys going with? Yeah. What are you guys
all
going
with? Well, of course, I'm cheering for the Dutchies, and you picked England.
Yep.
Hammer, that's your heritage.
What's your sub-favorite?
My sub-favorite, just for my father-in-law, I'm going to go Austria.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to go Austria. They don't stand a chance, but he's from Austria, so I'm going to just go with it.
Okay.
Does he...
he's Austrian.
Yeah.
He won't care about the soccer
whatsoever. What has he told you about his time growing up in Austria, other than Hitler was born in Austria?
Not much. Mm. Not much at all.
Do you guys watch Sound of Music every year at Christmas?
Oh, yeah. Once a month. A month we get together, and we get the sing-along version, the karaoke version. So we've got the words right there in closed caption.
Well, I've been to the little town where it was actually filmed, so that was actually pretty cool. And I love
beautiful country.
Well, Vienna is one of my favorite cities in the world.
I will go as my sub-favorite.
And again, it can't be, Germany.
Oh, he can't do that.
That would be the last
pick.
No,
he would never do that.
Never.
Never.
I'll go Poland. So, I always like the solid. They always have the nice red, very simple red-white kits.
Yeah.
Very simple.
Very consistent in countries that were occupied by Germany during World War II.
Number one in your hearts. Number one in terms of occupied, number one in your hearts. So I'll be all occupied in World War II team.
Now I feel like we need a Hogan's Hero. Yes. Or what was the Pele movie where they broke out? Hey? What was the Pele World War II movie? Was it Sylvester Stallone?
Really?
Yeah, they end up they're playing the Germans at the end, and they break out the water fountain in the middle of the dressing room, and they escape during the game, Hammer.
Again, Simmer, you reached the end of Netflix during the pandemic. Hammer and I had other things
to do. Yeah, this is old school. This is an old, old movie. This is Pele. Come on, you remember that one?
No,
Sylvester Stallone.
No.
Yeah, with Pele, and then they break out at the end. They're playing against the Germans. They're occupied. Oh, Hammer, it's a real good movie. That's weekend homework for you, as you're starting to listen to me and watch some of my my thoughts or some of the ones that I like.
Yeah.
Hammer, by the way, Kent from CP just texted in and said, nothing wrong with the battle sticks. Treated me well for almost 10 years. And now he says he's got TaylorMade P790s, which are like
real. Why'd you go away from the battle sticks?
He's kind of gone from a Lada to...
I feel like battle sticks have a bamboo shaft with like a really heavy, heavy club head. Just basically, if it comes off, could be a weapon of some type.
If you're going to war, you want to go to war with those battle sticks, okay? You don't want TaylorMade or anything like that.
All right, let's get to a couple of texts here. I had one, which I can't. I got a bunch here. Somebody, and I want to give credit, but I can't find his text, but somebody was walking. Oh, Grumpy was walking by, I guess, the parking lot of the station this morning, Simmer, and we were talking about your new vehicle, which you got yesterday.
Yeah.
While Hammer and I are admire the new vehicle, the Nissan Murano.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the highest on the color.
Okay.
Which we discovered was Sunset Drift. Yeah. Was that the official color?
Yeah, that sounds like a... Is that a Don Henley song, Hammer, we can get played here at some point?
Sunset Grill, I believe.
Okay, well, close enough.
Yeah. Hammer has called it actually Rust. I'm not sure that color exists anywhere else, but on a particular Nissan model. Anyway, Grumpy says he's a fan of the color.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Yeah.
And the movie I was thinking of 1981 is Victory.
Escape to Victory.
Yeah. Michael Caine, Pele...
I've never heard of this movie.
Are you
nor
serious?
No.
Oh, no. It was actually a pretty big deal, Jer.
Max von Sydow is in it, too.
He always.
You know him from Strange Brew.
But he always plays the German,
as
doesn't
the brewmeister.
He? Yeah. No. You have to. Jer, this is a solid one.
Well, I don't know about that.
What makes you think of soccer more than Michael Caine? And a little Pele was sly, so as I say, it was full on and kind of Hogan Heroes, little occupation in Germany, and little soccer match to end up escaping. Outstanding flick.
Wrench Throwing Friday. Wrench to Ryan Kessler for plucking his first guest out of the McDonald's on Rideau Street for his show. That's from the farm team.
We're going to bite a kneecap off.
So that is that singer, right? That's who he's referring to?
That's Post Malone, the barkeep there, yeah.
What happened with his tattoo game, Hammer? Like, was he on
What do you mean? It's solid.
Was he on acid? You don't do that. Come on. You start going facial on tattoos, you got some problems, right?
He's just a different guy that's just sees the world in a different way. Yeah. And let's face it, it's worked out for him.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Shane writes, wrench to my other half for surprising me with a can of paint for the kitchen.
Oh.
Have a great weekend. That's from Shane.
Oh, boy.
That's too far short of a Happy Meal.
Yeah, that's not even.
That's offside.
That's
offside for the first.
It's a mouchoir.
For the first full lockdown weekend in the summer, or I guess late spring, whatever we're in right now, June weekend.
Yeah.
Being presented with an indoor paint job.
Yeah.
Like, you know what?
I'm doubling
up on Shane's wrench right now. Double up.
Gives it to Slavin, and it's over!
Boy.
Old Espo fired up. That I think that's marriage on the rocks right there.
Yeah.
Or somebody,
that's a sign.
Or somebody that's played a ton of golf. Like, you've got something going on with the boys already planned, right? Like, there's a real big 50th party, boys' weekend, something going on here where all of a sudden you're presented with the paint, eh?
Oh, 100%.
That's where you pull the veteran move, though, and you end up calling in somebody to do it for you, eh? Call in the pros.
Little Jiffy app action.
Yeah, whatever it takes, Hammer, right?
To add to your idea this morning, I trademarked fake trees.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of fake anything, but Hammer, your fake grass, so I said we might as well go with
it
fake trees.
It looks so good.
Yeah.
Jeff with 1F writes, add to your fake tree idea, make them solar-powered and have them give off light converted to that you can convert to Christmas colors in the winter.
Oh, wow.
And Ottawa colors for the or your home favorite hockey team for the playoffs.
Wow.
These are great ideas right here.
Jeff with 1F.
And that could end up helping with the drink water boxes, Hammer, right? In the recycling that Trudeau has going for us, right?
Yes, sir.
Hey?
Johnny the landscaper, weeping willows are excellent erosion control. Plant them by the riverbank and your waterfront won't wash away. That's from Johnny the landscaper.
Okay,
thank
Johnny.
Thank you.
Oh, I like
You're
that.
You're a big advocate of weeping
willows.
Well,
yeah,
morning.
And I think that's why we probably see a lot of weeping willows at the shoreline and basically leaning in, which also leads to an awesome fishing spot, JR, right? One of the keys there when you're casting into the shore is a nice log or a nice shade. But I had played a course in New England when I was in Rhode Island a fair amount, and it was all weeping willows. I just loved. And when there's just a little breeze there, JR, you just sit back and listen to them, right?
Mm.
You listen to them weep.
You think the Bradshaws caught a fish yet out at Mississippi Lake? Jason Clark, the now former owner, coach, general manager, and chief bottle washer with the Carlton Place Canadian, says you just got to know the secret spots. Apparently Brad doesn't know.
Yeah, that's interesting,
nor does he have
right?
a good phone.
And I'm assuming Brad's been there forever, right? Now, you also understand that you're going from Columbus, and there have been cutbacks in Vancouver, so maybe shoe polish gave him his old phone, and there's still some shoe polish on the ear. That's you go to talk on it, and then you realize you got black shoe polish on your horn.
Well, he did tell me that. What? Tell me that the phone has it did crap out on Jim Benning as well while they were having a conversation.
Well, he was about to be hired.
It dropped out on Mr. Benning, too.
I think Jimbo still got the Motorola flip phone. Here, Brad, here's a little something from the Canucks. And then you actually wash it off, and it has Trevor Linden on it. Or Stan Schmeel. Here's Steamer's
Harold
old.
Harold Schnapps.
Here's Steamer's old phone. Yeah. Okay.
Let's see here. Good morning. Let's see here. Hey, guys. If we project forward, Shabbat and Sanderson will be our top two left D-man. This would mean if Brännström isn't put on the right side in the top two pairings, that Stone was traded for a third-pairing defenseman. Sickens me to think about. That's from Rob.
Well, Sokolov, a solid law firm, going to be a good player. But, hey, at the end of the day, the whole hockey world, JR, said this guy was going to be a star. I mean, I don't think this was just an Ottawa Senators thing. And as I forecast it right now, if that is the case, he doesn't fit into that spot. And I do wonder long term if he does fit in. Hey, forget about a copycat league. you would be hard-pressed, JR, to tell me how many 5'8", 5'9", defensemen that are kind of offensive. And I'll say these, even if you wanted to say, I'll say the best offensive defenseman of my lifetime that was on the smallest side that you could never win with in the playoffs was Phil Housley. Like, we couldn't even dress Phil in the playoffs. We had to either dress him as a seventh defenseman or as a forward just to play on the power play. Like who could you say, and again, Teeminen to Oduya to Rafalski, they were all defensive defensemen. Like, we just haven't seen many smallish guys be successful in the playoffs.
Yeah, fair point. Yeah. And the other thing I'll bring up, and I know the coach has said, DJ Smith has said, he doesn't want to play guys on their offside.
Yeah.
I watched a lot of North Dakota hockey this year, and Jake Sanderson played a ton on his offside. Yeah. So I think if there's one guy who may project to the other side, and it may be a thing where, you know, it's just from time to time, and depending on, you know, game and importance of game and time of the game and all that other stuff, I could see Jake Sanderson potentially playing on the right side as a left shot and, in fact, potentially as a partner for Thomas Chabot.
Exactly. I mean, if you project ahead and think, wow, guy wins a Hobie Baker and could be one of the best D-men in the league and is very dependable, it's just very strange. Now, it was a growing year for Coach Smith and deciding the lineup, tactically change things. You got to get away from that. And I have no idea why the manager and coach continue down that path. If I was to project this, say, I would agree with that. I would hope that, based on the right side, that in a couple of years, either Zub or Bernard Docker fit that slot. Now the question is between Sanderson, you know, do you think Sanderson along with Chabot, along with JBD and Zub, in a couple of years, would that end up being a good enough top four, depending what your 5-6 ends up being?
Mike writes, look at the Habs' recent trades and signings as opposed to the Sens. Josh Anderson, Tyler Toffoli, Jake Allen, trade for Suzuki versus Dadonov, Stepan, Matt Murray, and trade for Brännström. Why Pierre Dorion is still working is beyond me. That comes from Mike. You're kind of cherry picking there a little bit, Mike.
Yeah, but understand. Well, Mike, and we've kind of said this. I mean, I also say now Caulfield has come along and Kotkaniemi, go through that lineup. You can argue Sergachev a good player, even back to Ryan McDonough. Real nice players, just bad trades, JR. But on the pro side, Montreal. Now, let's also critique the moves. Without a doubt, Toffoli for the money has been outstanding. I'll be honest with you. I'm a big Josh Anderson guy coming in until I've watched him on a nightly basis, JR. My, oh, my. That lack of hockey sense terrifies me. And some of the other moves they've made, Perry was a nice pickup. Stahl, okay, I guess they're making it so you say it's good. That really wasn't that great of a pickup. So they've certainly had their moments on the pro side versus Ottawa. And if you married the amateur and the pro side of the two clubs, you'd probably have a Stanley Cup winner.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, keep the text coming. It's a wrench-throwing Friday. We'll get to more of those coming up in the next hour. You can text us at 12-1200. When you do text us, standard messaging rates apply. You can tweet at us as well, at TSN1200. We're going to take a break right now. Latest news on the way from 580 CFRA. We'll run down the scoreboard. More detail on Vegas polishing off Colorado and moving on to the NHL semifinal against Montreal. That series, again, will begin on Monday night at 9 o'clock. Montreal-Vegas starts Monday. The Tampa Islanders series will start on Sunday afternoon. All right, we'll take a break, bring you all that, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little more soccer. Luke Weilman, a voice of soccer on TSN, will join us, and we're going to preview Euro 2020, which kicks off today. Who are his favorites? Who are his underdogs? Who are maybe some favorites that aren't going to show well? Who's going to win the Golden Boot? We'll get some predictions from Luke Weilman when we come back here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.